Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Dr. Michael Brown. And he wrote an interesting column. Actually, all of his columns are very interesting, but this most interesting recent one was talking about what happened in Ireland. Why did a majority of the Irish voters vote in favor of same-sex marriage? Many people were perplexed about that, and I think Dr. Brown got to the bottom of this. Ask Dr. Brown, by the way, is his website, AskDrBrown.com. Dr. Michael Brown, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's always great to be with you, Jerry. I appreciate what you're doing. By the way, most people make the same mistake. It's .org, not .com. AskDrBrown.org. But thank you for having me on. It's a joy to speak with you.
Oh, absolutely. And the vote in Ireland surprised me, and it made me think, you know, in fact, I tweeted that very day when I first heard about it. Wow, seems like they need St. Patrick again.
Mm. Yeah, look, you're talking about a country that, according to the Catholic Church, is 88% Catholic, and yet the vote was 62% to 38% in favor of redefining marriage. It's been a bit of a wake-up call for the Catholic Church, and there are a few lessons that can be learned, but when I wrote this article, you need to know what really happened in Ireland. I knew some of what was going on behind the scenes just because of reading articles about American funding that was coming in and the great onslaught of it. But I posted on Facebook just three thoughts initially, that three things we could see. Number one, that traditional Christian religion cannot stop the juggernaut of gay activism. So just having people in traditional religion, if it's not a vibrant faith connection, it won't stop it. And then secondly, that sex scandals in the Catholic Church in the 1990s robbed the Church of its moral authority.
Mm.
To the extent that the society looks at Christians as hypocritical, because they expect us to be different, oddly enough, as much as they criticize us, that we lose our moral authority. And thirdly, that Ireland wasn't ready for the massive influx of gay activist funding from America. And a woman wrote to me, a monthly supporter of our ministry, and said, I read your post on Facebook, but it felt like a veiled criticism that we didn't do enough, which was absolutely not my intent. I wanted people to know what they were up against. And she began to articulate what actually happened in Ireland. And I was so moved by it that basically this article, which has gone viral on a number of sites, I just quoted what she wrote in my article.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stunning, Jerry,
mm-hmm.
to see what actually happened that helped bring about such a dramatic shift in the vote there.
Okay, for example, you're talking about like things where, let's say there'd be a pro-traditional marriage sign, and then those things would all be torn down, and then the pro-gay marriage signs would be put up. That kind of not just sabotage, but all kinds of things like that.
Yeah, it's like this. Let's just say that we say we're going to have a vote, a yes or no vote on thus and such an issue next month. And then I get a band of people that every yes vote through the city, we tear that down through the entire city, and we intimidate people and try to put them up. And then we get outside funding, say 10 to 1 or 100 to 1, to back the other side. And then the vote comes, and the no side wins. We say, you see, that's the position of the people. Well, it was the position of the people on a certain level, but in an extremely biased way. Not only were the signs vandalized and taken down, and that's what happened, say, in California with Prop 8.
Mm-hmm.
People put that up on their lawns, and it got vandalized, and places of business were threatened with boycotts and things like that. Not only that, but you have, for example, the news coverage was supposed to show both sides. They would only show one side. And perhaps the thing that was the most shocking of all, she said, was this. The public police force was drafted in to support the yes vote, yes, let's redefine marriage, and to register college students to vote. And they passed out yes badges to teach students as they did so. She said the pressure was incessant and unbelievable. Even the ballot paper was biased. We argued that the term marriage equality was biased, but yet that term made it onto the ballot paper. So people were not voting Do you think we should redefine marriage? People are not voting. The kids deserve a mom and a dad. People are not voting. Should we change marriage to mean two men or two women can have a sexual romantic relationship? It didn't ask the question, can a man be a wife? Can a woman be a husband? It didn't ask that. Do you believe or do you support marriage equality? Well, yeah, I support equality. It's a good thing. You have that kind of mentality, and even the wording is biased, but that is in large part how this was pushed through.
Wow, that's really so tragic. Explain about the American money.
Yeah, well, let me just say that I get to travel around the world. I'm overseas right now as we speak. So I speak to people in different countries, people in the political realm, people in the business realm, and they're often telling me about the extreme pressure that America brings on them. So before I address Ireland, when I was in Singapore, I met with a number of business leaders there, and they told me how companies like Google and Microsoft are putting their companies under pressure, saying you need to change your policies. You have discriminatory policies in our views. You need to change them. Yale University is working very closely with perhaps the top university in Singapore to commonly, openly hire homosexual professors and to bring in an aggressive agenda. A law professor there was telling me about this in detail. Another friend of mine, connected to a head of state in Africa, told me about a direct call he got from the American government, from a major player in the American government, and they talked for an hour saying you need to change your policies on homosexuality if you want to get our support. Otherwise, we will withdraw our funding. That's what Uganda was threatened with. George Soros, the Hungarian-born billionaire who supports so many radical left causes, he's often behind these. But according to this letter, American billionaire Chuck Feeney, just one man alone, contributed over $24 million. How in the world is a country like Ireland, with this kind of, that's just one person, yeah, how are you going to fight against something like that?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah, and by the way, you can't help but, when I first read some of this stuff, I can't help but think of that verse or that statement from Jesus where he said, and I'm not applying it to anybody specifically, but he said this, "Woe to you when you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves won't go in, but you prevent others from going in."
Mm. You know what's striking? I read an amazing article. I just shared a bit of it on my own radio show a moment ago, right before we finished and came on with you, that a gay atheist wrote. He said, "I'm a gay atheist, but I want the Catholic Church," this is specifically addressing in Ireland, "to oppose same-sex, quote, marriage." He said, "I want them to oppose it." He said, reading what some of the Catholic leaders are saying, well, there's a social revolution taking place, and we're going to have to get more savvy with social media to reach the young people. He said, "Listen, we need you." This is a gay atheist saying, "We need you to stand up and say, what's wrong is wrong, even if you vote the other way, that your vote does not change something for being wrong." He said when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, according to the biblical account, he didn't say, "Oh, the people have shifted their views, let's be contemporary and shift our views." He said the early Christians were a minority, and they were reviled and hated, but it didn't mean they were wrong. He said they were actually right. And that's how the church needs to stand. And yet you see the mentality all over America here. Oh, this is what's trending. Jerry, we're out of touch with reality. Dr. Newcomb, we're out of touch with reality. We need to catch up with the times. Polls don't change what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Votes don't change morality. And yet we need to be savvy to know how to reach people and understand how what they're being influenced by and counter it with truth and get it out to people. But what does it prove? What happened in Ireland? It proves that people are gullible, that people can buy an emotional argument, that people have lost sight of what marriage really is, and that you get enough funding, enough social media to reach the young people, you can get a vote to go the way you want it to go.
Do you have any idea of the percentage of young people that participated in the plebiscite or in that vote?
I don't know the percentages. I just know that they were considered high. To be very active, to the point that the Catholic Church specifically mentioned them. An archbishop specifically mentioned their activity, and we know that they were greatly reached via social media.
Yeah. Now, let's back up, and I want you to make a point that you have made in previous programs where we've talked about the whole issue of homosexuality, because sometimes it's easy for people to misunderstand and get the impression, you know, oh, you're just picking on the gays again, or that kind of thing. I want you to make your point about the agenda versus the people.
Yeah, from day one, when I began to get involved with this about 11 years ago, I realized that there were two issues. Your average person identifies as LGBT, neighbor, friend, family member, is not an aggressive activist. The average person is not campaigning to take away religious rights and freedoms. They basically want to live their lives. They've suffered a lot of rejection. They basically want to live their lives like everybody else, and they're just saying, hey, I just want to be able to live my life the way you do and be able to marry, have family just the way somebody else does. And you're talking about people creating God's image, of people for whom Jesus died. He didn't exclude the homosexual population when he died on the cross. He loves all people equally in that respect. So there's the people that I care for, that I lay my life down for, like anyone else, to help and to bring them to know the Lord and to protect their well-being. And there's the agenda. So the philosophy I've operated under for 11 years now is reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage, because the gay activist agenda is the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America and other nations as well. The gay activist agenda is a major threat in terms of redefining the meaning of family and something that is not in the best interest of children or the future of the country. So I will do whatever I can to befriend a gay person, for them to get to know me. I had a long talk once on a flight to Rome with an openly gay flight attendant who was going on vacation. We sat, and he was going as a passenger, and we talked for a long time. He told me his whole story. And at the end, I said, if you met someone like me who held to my views, would you consider that person homophobic? He said, absolutely. I said, do you consider me homophobic? He said, no, I heard your heart. We actually exchanged email addresses to stay in touch after the flight. So the issue is the activist agenda, which is changing society and threatening our very liberties. As for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, they are friends, family members, coworkers, people for whom Jesus died, and I want to do my best to be involved in their lives, even if they look at me as hateful or bigoted because I don't agree with many of their goals. I'm still a friend, family member, coworker for the long haul.
And what is their goal as far as like the agenda? And we have, by the way, for those who have just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Michael Brown. AskDrBrown.org for more information. But what's their end goal?
The end goal, and by the way, this has been articulated in many of their major organizations, Human Rights Campaign and Lambda Legal and National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and Gay, Lesbian, Alliance Against Defamation, and on, they've had clearly stated goals, clearly stated vision. It's basically the complete normalizing of homosexuality, so that homosexuality, homosexual relations are looked at as no different than heterosexual, which means the redefining of family, which ultimately means even the breaking down of gender distinctions, and ultimately the suppression of those forces that oppose it. If you're in the schools and you don't want to teach that, you have to. If you're in the media and you want to speak against it, you can't. Ultimately, even behind the pulpit, if you are not willing to accept redefining marriage, that's a right that you don't have. That's ultimately where gay activism wants to go, that this is normalized and all resistance to it must be removed.
Well, so for example, if you had a minister and he did weddings, then if this, if they get further and further along in their agenda, would he be forced? Well, he wouldn't do it, but would they say, you must perform a same-sex wedding, whether you like it or not, and then he ends up going to jail or something like that, or losing his pulpit?
Well, you know, I wrote about that a few weeks back. If people look at my archive of latest articles, they'll find it to biblical preaching be illegal. Let me say this without sounding like Chicken Little and the sky is falling, because I have great confidence in God and, yeah, and the future, and believe that there are many fine men and women of God who stand up. From where we came from 20 years ago to today, that's a longer jump than saying a Christian minister could be jailed for refusing to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
Why do I say that?
Nothing surprises you anymore.
Yeah, we have a pastor in Florida whose church met in a public school, and when he differed with President Obama, when he spoke out against, President Obama said that he now supported same-sex quote marriage, he spoke against it, they tried to have him removed from the school. You don't have a right to be in this school.
Wow.
A street preacher in England was recently fined for quoting Leviticus 20:13 without reference to a death penalty, but that homosexual practice was said. He preached it from the street. He was fined, and the judge found him guilty and said, if you want to take issue with homosexuality, you must use different verses. This is on the streets of England, where Spurgeon and William Booth and Charles Wesley and John Wesley, these men of God lived and preached the gospel. I believe it's either Denmark or Norway, one of the two. It is state law that if you are part of the Lutheran Church, which the vast majority of people are registered Lutheran, someone comes to you as the bishop and says, we want a same-sex wedding, you must find a pastor to perform it. Mm-hmm. If one pastor won't, another will. In the Netherlands, what they did for some of those in government who said, I cannot participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony, because the Netherlands led the way in legalizing this some years back, what the government said is, okay, we'll exempt you, but you're not allowed to perform any weddings. So your way out is, you will not be coerced to perform a wedding, but you're not allowed to perform any weddings. So why not? Why wouldn't it be? If the Supreme Court makes the wrong decision later next month and says that same-sex, quote, marriage is the rule of the land, that means to say no to it, you're saying no to the law. There's a gay couple that went to United Methodist and said, we want to be married. They said, not our policy. So they're now taking the Methodists to court. They said, someone has to agitate. Even though it's not their policy, it's bigoted. Someone has to agitate. So why not? No, we go to jail, we go to jail. It's not the end of the world. But the reality is that is easily where things could head.
Dr. Michael Brown, again, askdrbrown.org. Thank you so much, sir, for being with us. Keep up the great work.
And keep up the great work, too. Thank you.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.